Good afternoon, everyone. We will call the Vehicle Registration Task Force to order. As chair of the LCC, it's my role to convene the first meeting, and I will convene until we elect a chair, and then I will hand the gavel off to that chair, and then I will be sneaking out. But before we do the election of the officers, let's go ahead and go around the room and do some introductions, and we'll start with Mr. Hintz.
Hello, my name is Mike Hintz, Minnesota Deputy Registrar's Association.
And please just continue around the room.
I'm Allie Quinn, I'm new with MADA. Amber Backus, Vice President of Public Affairs of Minnesota Automobile Dealers Association.
Nicole Michelson, Financial Analyst, Department of Public Safety.
Chair Tim Lennon, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Public Safety.
John Petersburg, State Representative.
Senator Mary Kiffmeyer, representing the Senate.
Senator John Osinski, representing Senate and Vice Chair of Transportation.
Representative Steve Elton, representing the House.
Suzanne Sabatka, representing the Office of the Governor.
Margaret Anderson Kelleher, Commissioner of Transportation.
Christy Schradel, CFO for Department of Transportation.
Tu Tong, CFO of Minute.
John Eichten, Deputy Commissioner at Minute, representing Commissioner Tomes.
All right. Thank you very much. And members of the task force, just remember that we're in a fancy room here and there's an on-off switch for your microphone. So when you speak, just turn it on. And then when you're done speaking, turn it off. We'll move on next to the agenda, number two on the agenda, election of officers. Are there any nominations for chair? Senator Jasinski.
Senator Miller, I would like to nominate Senator Mary Kiffmeyer as the chair.
Senator Kiffmeyer has been nominated. Are there any other chairs? Seeing none, the nominations will be closed. All those in favor of electing Senator Kiffmeyer as chair, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion prevails. Senator Kiffmeyer, congratulations, and I'll hand the gavel over to you.
Thank you very much, Senator Miller. We really appreciate your effort at pulling us together and convening and doing that very important work. So thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, members, with that, in regards to what we have in our agenda today, it's very exciting that we finally get to be here and pull this together and do this work. Very grateful for all of you. We have a lot of experienced, knowledgeable minds in the room and also a tremendous amount of staff that's going to be very, very important to do this. And I would suppose that our goal today is really to have this ready for session. We know that FAST is developing the new software for taking over after MNLARS, and I know it'll be really helpful to them to have this resolved so they can make that part of their initial software. So that's the work in front of us. A lot of good things to happen here. We appreciate that. So with that, we're going to first of all hear from both the House Research and Senate Research that's going to go over the task force introductory overview. Welcome to both of you. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Chair Kiffmeyer. I'll go ahead and start with a brief overview. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Lexi Stengel, and I work for Nonpartisan Senate Council.
And Madam Chair, members of the task force, I'm Matt Burris with House Research.
So I'm going to cover just a little bit of background about why we're here and what the task force is set to accomplish, and then Matt's going to talk a little bit more about registration taxes and some of the financial aspects. So a little bit about why we're here. We're here to talk about vehicle registration and different methods of that. First, the basic concept of registration, and Matt's going to get into this in a lot more detail, so I'm going to keep it pretty basic. Registration for passenger vehicles is a flat tax of $10 plus a percentage of the base value of the vehicle. And that's the amount that you pay every year when you renew your tabs. And as you know, for the first 10 years of your vehicle life, it ticks down a little bit every year. In discussions over the past few years, and maybe even beyond that, there have been lots of discussions about what tab fees are, should be, or shouldn't be, or those sorts of things. But the task force here is really a broad look at registration not just at the current system, but about systems from other states and new ideas that may or may not work for Minnesota. So a little bit about the reason for the task force. This issue really most recently came up in part of the overarching discussion of MNLARS. And it really came to light in 2018. There was an OLA report on MNLARS transactional accuracy. And that report, among other things, outlined some of the variations and inconsistencies among the current vehicle registration tax. And what that report showed is that same and similar vehicles are sometimes charged different vehicle registration amounts. And that was sort of the impetus for people to start talking about, well, how does our registration system work, and is that the system that is best for Minnesota? So the task force was created to sort of look at the overarching issue of vehicle registration. You heard a little bit about MNLARS, and I know we're not here to talk about MNLARS, so I'm just going to give you a brief context about how this all fits together. As you're all aware, MNLARS is being replaced by a third-party vendor provided FAST. That contract was executed last month, so they're building the software now. And the reason I mention this is as the task force goes forward, it will be a good idea to consider how that software works, any sort of customization that the recommendations of the task force, how they might interact with this new software system. So that's just something to keep in the back of your minds. A little bit more about the task force. It was established in the budget bill in 2019. There are 20 members, most of which you see here. There are 8 legislators, 8 executive branch members, and then 4 stakeholders. And the task force has 4 duties that it has to do, and feel free to add to that list, I would assume. The first duty is to look at 4 different methods of registration and how they could be implemented in a revenue-neutral manner. And those are a flat rate system, a weight-based system, a value-based system, and an age-based system. And these systems are used throughout other states and to some degree also in Minnesota for vehicles that aren't passenger vehicles, so for heavy trucks and those sorts of things, and Matt will talk about that. And that's another point. As you're talking about these things, it would be helpful to decide whether we're talking in the task force just about passenger vehicles or if you want to look at, you know, the broad spectrum of vehicles, whether that's the overweight trucks and trailers and that sort of thing, or if it's just passenger vehicles. Your second duty is to look at a 2-year vehicle registration period and whether the results of changing from a 1-year renewal to a 2-year, whether that's mandatory or optional, what are the pros, cons, cost benefits of that kind of a change. The third duty is to look at the financial effects of the changes for the first 2 duties. And specifically, the task force is to look at the cost to vehicle owners and deputy registrars. That list is not a complete list, so the task force should also probably look at things, agency costs, time, technology, those all sorts of costs, I think, in a comprehensive manner. And then finally, customization of the new vehicle registration system, and that's what I mentioned earlier. So as the task force is making recommendations and thinking about changes, it should also think about how does this work with the software system that's being developed. Does it require customization? And if so, what's the cost on that? And is there a cost-benefit analysis that should go along with the recommended changes? And then finally, the task force needs to report back to the legislature by January 15th next year. And that report is a summary of what the task force does, the meetings and such, an explanation of how the task force looked at all 4 of the different methods that were listed earlier, any recommendations that the task force might make, and then draft legislation. And with that, I'll turn it over to Matt.
Thank you very much, Ms. Stengel. And so, Mr. Burris, you can go ahead and proceed with your presentation. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the task force, again, I'm Matt Burris with House Research, and I'll be moving into the financial context at a high level, a little bit more, not comprehensive, but a little bit more of a refresher for many of you. And it wouldn't be a proper legislative undertaking if we didn't have some paper shuffling, so there are several documents in your packets. The first is an introductory overview document that's about 3 pages, and kind of walking through some of the points made in that document, so if you wanted to follow along. And then there are some associated handouts. So first, at a high level, the registration tax fits into a broader transportation finance structure that is somewhat intricate and is driven by a constitutional formula and some constitutional requirements, as well as formulas for distribution of revenue and collection of revenue that are set in state statute. And one of the documents, if you want to get kind of a general sense, is this highway finance overview. I won't go into too much detail about it other than to sort of touch on how the registration tax is one of the constitutionally dedicated core transportation-related revenue streams. So there are three that are kind of form that core basis. And the revenue from the registration tax flows into the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund, which is one of the constitutionally established accounting funds of the state. And from there, by formula, the funds are distributed out to state and local road systems through a couple of different mechanisms. Revenue from the registration tax is pretty substantial. In fiscal year 2018, it amounts to about $782 million. There is another handout that is a portrait chart that gives you hopefully a historical sense of the mix of revenues going into the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. So this is not comprehensive for all state sources of funds, but hopefully gives you a sense of how the registration tax, or tab fees as it's referred to in this chart, form one of the chunks of revenue streams. It's about 35% of the revenue going into the HUTD, again, in fiscal 2018 terms, a little bit smaller amount when you look at it in terms of all state revenues. Of that registration tax revenue stream, about 82% comes from registration of passenger vehicles. Just looking a little bit at the nature of the registration fleet and revenues, the table on the overview at the bottom of page one provides, you know, one way of potentially several one way of looking at and thinking about the revenue and mix of vehicles. So you can see that the total registrations, again, in fiscal 18, amounts to a little over 4.5 million in passenger vehicles. And as far as the mix of the fleet, close to half, about 49%, are in the older vehicle category. So the vehicle is 11 or more years old. And you can also see in the table the mixture of revenues kind of broken down by new, like very new, somewhat new, older, I guess you might think of it in those terms. One other point to make about the registration tax and the kind of overall financial context is that is one tax that is collected as part of the registration and motor vehicle related processes. And so there is another flow chart document that's in your packet that is nice small font and provides a sense of the types of both taxes and fees that can potentially be involved with a given overall transaction involving, say, renewal of tabs that would have the registration tax itself, but other fees and potentially other taxes that can also be imposed. This is just to give you, a sense of overall context. It's not a comprehensive listing of every scenario. Moving into the registration tax, a little bit more about it, again, in an introductory sense, this tax is imposed for the most part annually, and it, as I mentioned, is part of the motor vehicle registration process. And the administration is through a kind of combination, it's something that several people on the task force are already familiar with, but it involves the Department of Public Safety as well as deputy registrars. Calculation of the tax varies. There are several different formulas and mechanisms. So passenger vehicles are calculated through one set of one formula that I'll had been touched on. I'll go into a little bit more detail, but there are several other types of vehicles that for which there are different ways that the tax is calculated. So in general, weight, age, and value of the vehicle are the three factors, but those three factors don't all apply for a given vehicle type, and they can apply differently for different types. So there's a range. You can see in the table on page 2 kind of a just general breakdown of those the various methods by which the tax can be figured out or is figured out. So in some cases, it's a schedule where if a vehicle weight falls within a range, then you just kind of look across to see what the associated tax amount is. And depending on age of the vehicle, in some scenarios, as the vehicle gets older, there's an age threshold where suddenly the amounts that's shown in the schedule, you just take a percentage of that amount. So I won't go through every one, but just to kind of set the general context, there's some depth to the variety there on tax calculation. Moving finally then to a little bit more on the formula for the registration tax for passenger vehicles. As mentioned, there are kind of two main parts to it. The first is a $10 flat amount that applies regardless of the age or value of the vehicle. And then the second piece is 1.25% of the base value of the vehicle, and that is then depreciated or reduced as the vehicle ages. So that base value, that calculation is hooked to the manufacturer's suggested retail price plus a destination charge. But it does not include other options and accessories. So it might not be what's probably not going to be the sticker price the way the motor vehicle sales tax would be calculated. So depreciation schedule, it's really just a schedule of reduction in the rate as the vehicle gets older, and it reduces by 10 percentage points each year over 10 years. And then the calculation changes somewhat in the 11th year and after so that it's two flat amounts, a $25 minimum plus that 10 that is applied universally. So for those older vehicles, it's a set $35. As part of the last round of legislative changes, which were made in 2008 regarding the registration tax, there was a hold harmless provision that was put into place, which essentially states that the amount that is paid or due for registration tax can't increase over what had been paid in prior years. Now, in general, for, say, a new car that's first being registered this year in the past couple of years, that depreciation schedule would mean the hold harmless provision isn't really necessary, but it was put into place in the context of when caps on registration tax amounts were eliminated in the 2008 legislative changes. And that, Madam Chair, wraps up the high-level introductory remarks.
Madam Chair, can I add one more thing?
Thank you, Mr. Burris. Oh. And yes, Ms. Stengel.
Thank you. I want to clarify something that I mentioned earlier that I don't think came out quite right. So the 2018 OLA report looked at Menlar's transactions, and as part of that, it talked about vehicle registration. I just wanted to clarify that the OLA report indicated that while some of the inconsistencies and variabilities with registration may have related to Menlar's, some of the issues were with how current law was structured. Mm-hmm. So this isn't just a Menlar's problem. It's actually looking at the statutory language. So I just wanted to make that part clear. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ms. Stengel. I think that was one of the things. I actually had two bills on this, but one of the realizations was wish we had thought of that earlier so that it might have helped them to be more successful if they would have had a simpler formula to look at it. But that's what we're about here today. I appreciate that oversight. And there's also been a handout passed around, which, Ms. Stengel, I believe, are you the source of this or a combination of
NCCS?
Yes.
Representative
Elkins?
Yeah, I can say. So the spreadsheet, and you should get a copy. This is The spreadsheet you produced, Ms. Stengel produced this early in the year for MNLAR's meeting, and it shows how different states do their own. And the one thing I added on here, you'll see notes in the first column. It'll say either like DVS or VS. What I did is I took the Fast Enterprises customer list and went through and marked indicated there which states were Fast customers and whether they were using the driver system, the vehicle system, or both. So, and what it indicated to me is that there is quite a bit of flexibility, obviously, already in the FAST system, if it's accommodating all of these systems, because there were some weight, some value, some age, some combination. So we should have quite a bit of flexibility.
Thank you, Representative Elkins, and I would agree with that. One of the things we noticed, we have three versions, but I thought before we go further into that, I think it's really helpful to have each of the task force members, if we just go around the table and have each member have an opportunity to talk about what your goal is and what you'd like to see, and just be able to make some comments to kind of set the stage. And we started with Mr. Hinz. I thought we'd reverse it and put you on the spot, Mr. Eitan. And if you wouldn't mind just starting and making some of your comments about how MNIT and your agency is anticipating supporting this and what some thoughts might be.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would say that we are hopeful and optimistic that this process can result in some simplification to the underlying business processes that will ultimately result in a more streamlined IT system to support DVS. Also, I hope that it can be a model for future IT system investments, that there be some planned phase, you know, at the forefront that takes a look at the underlying statutes, the business processes that support those statutes, and tries to take a global view of, you know, to what extent do we want to require customization of IT systems through our laws, and that there can be a collaborative kind of back and forth dialogue between the executive branch and the legislative branch about what the ultimate cost of ownership impact is to having significant statutory complexity. And then also, since we are moving into a COTS environment, you know, to the extent that we can seek some alignment with other states, I think that will help reduce the cost of future upgrades as well. So,
thank you, Mr. Eitan. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I can't
Chair.
See your name tag, and I don't have it all memorized yet. Thank you, Mr. Tong. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, thank you for being part. I'm excited to be part of this task force. My task here, I believe, is to make sure that the policies that's been driven down by this group are translating to dollars, costs.
You pull your microphone towards you so we can hear you better.
Cost.
Or do you have it turned on? Do you have it flipped up?
Oh, okay, yep.
Good. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, but we want to be sure and hear you.
Oh, that's got it right. So that's my primary task, is to take any given information from this task force and calculate that into a cost impact related to system. And that was part of the work that I did when we supported the financial reporting on MNLARS back in March 2018. So I'm glad to continue that work and have support of this group.
Great. Thank you for being here. We appreciate your input.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Christy Schradel, and I'm the CFO of the Department of Transportation. And as the agency that both forecasts and spends this revenue, we have a vested interest in being really good partners with all the agencies that utilize the data and are definitely interested in having a consistent set of data. And obviously, simplicity would be helpful as well. But again, we want to be good partners. This is a major source of revenue for HETD, and not just highways, but our local partners. So we are happy to be at the table and partner.
And thank you very much for being here. It's a very important component.
Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I will echo what Ms. Schrodel just said and add that I think our goal is not to lose a dime of revenue out of this fund, and I want to be very clear about this. Transportation has not seen a significant increase of new dollars in a number of years, and so we don't want any formula changes to adversely affect the fund. The other thing is, I do serve on the Blue Ribbon Council, and so I do have a little bit of a crosswalk here for us between the technology side, and what we're seeing in terms of the questions raised there about data. And I would say that's one of the bigger issues, as Ms. Schradl said, that we have an issue with at MnDOT, which is getting accurate and up-to-date information out of our system so that we can forecast and then also, distribute the funds as efficiently as possible. And just to remind everyone, because it is different from state to state, it is the Department of Public Safety's responsibility to do the vehicle registration system. And so we're a bifurcated system in this state. We're hoping that the selection of FAST will give us some significant gains in possibly simplicity, but definitely in customer service.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. And I would say that has been the conversation amongst everybody. To be revenue neutral. What does that mean and how do we get there? And so whether it's DVS, transportation, whatever, all hands on deck to help us, MnDOT as well, to get to that point, what is that on each possible proposals? Ms. Sadoka.
Hi, thank you, Suzanne Sabatka, representing the governor's office. I think we're here because the governor has made no secret of his interest in transportation revenue. And certainly vehicle registration tax is something we've been grappling with for a while. It's mired in a lot of different issues, being complexity of the calculation, the fact that the way Minnesota calculates our vehicle registration tax, it's a bit of an odd duck, as you can see, is pretty well illustrated in this table. And also it has issues of fairness, and I think that's just something we're glad to be at the table for that conversation.
Thank you very much. Glad to have you here. Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm a member of the House Transportation Committee and have followed the MnLARS very carefully, read all of the reports at least once, including the transaction accuracy report. I'm a transportation economist by education and for about the 15 years of my career by vocation as well. The last 25 years of my career have been in information technology as an information architect and solution architect. And so I have been shadowing the work of the Blue Ribbon Council as well. I see Commissioner Kelleher and I see each other frequently in that context. And so I have a strong interest in the information technology architecture of the new system. And support the goals that it should be revenue neutral in the end and that it should be at least no less progressive than it is now in the end result. I also have an expectation that when we're done, the system that we the tax structure that we recommend does result in simplification, the ability to easily implement the new system. I also carried the bills for the deputy registrars and the auto dealers this year, so I'm fairly familiar with their trials and travails as well, and would certainly also expect that when the dust settles that things will be a lot simpler for both of those stakeholder groups and that both of them will be, you know, fairly compensated for the work that they do as in their roles in the process as well. I read very carefully, probably twice, the report on transactional accuracy, and it jumped out at me that there are provisions in state law that basically made it impossible for the MnLARS calculations to be done accurately, especially the base value calculation, where a big part of the problem is that basically the statute specified the use of a value that was almost impossible to determine in many cases. So I hopefully will come out of this with echoing what Mr. Eichten said. We need to have a structure that's easy to implement as well.
Thank you, Representative Elkins. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm probably the newest one on this board as being involved. I've spent the last 3 years on transportation as vice chair. I've carried some of the auto dealer bills with several of the stakeholders, I think what we really need to do is make it as simple as possible. When we transferred the system over before I got here in 2016 and 17, when we came into that, it seems like we replaced a 1968 Rambler with a 1968 Rambler, and we didn't change anything in the system, and we should have done that before we did that because it must have been much more simple. Some of the things that I hear from my constituents that kind of raise my attention, and I think a lot of the people don't even understand how they're charged for their motor vehicle sales tax. They don't understand the depreciation. They don't understand 10 years, all those things. So I think we want to make it as simple as possible so the average person understands it. And, you know, a 12-year-old car does just as much damage as a 10-year-old car. So, I'm kind of a weight-based guy. I think, well, what does damage should be charged on the road. So, I know there's an exclusion for, I think it's a one-ton recreational vehicle. It's a flat fee that does just as much damage, but if not more. And we're only collecting one fee. I think it's $186, I believe, is what it was. I know the base value. I've talked to my dealer, my local dealer, as well as the MAD, and the number of mistakes on the base value is crazy out there, and it makes it so complicated and just very, very difficult. I've talked to my deputy registers, and it's the same thing. There's just so many complications that we have to simplify this. We have to simplify it. The base value, I mean, I think that the 10-year deal and the base value may screw up some new car sales. I mean, people hold on to cars longer because they get past that, which may hamper some car sales, which we look at those things as well. We do need to look at the market, what's going on. So that's one thing. I think really the really basics down is just make it simple. People can understand it, and it makes sense. So I want to try and do that. And, I still think on the weight-based or a flat fee is probably the simplest we can do. I have a difficult problem with the value base because it's just so complicated and creates so many calculation errors. So I think if we can simplify that, it'll be much easier for everybody in Minnesota to understand and move forward with. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Jasinski. Boy, wow. Great going already. So why don't you go ahead, Ms. Smith, and we'll just continue.
Madam Chair and members, first of all, apology for being late. I was at a Real ID conference with the Commissioner of Public Safety at the airport trying to get Minnesotans ready for Real ID. So I am Gay Smith, and I started out in the Deputy Registrar business in 1985. Been doing this a long time. I started out in a small rural county of 13,000 individuals and farmers, and started working, learning the business as it relates to all of Minnesota. And I think what I found is that demographics. We all do things differently. We are not consistent. We have rules that are not rules, they're policy. It's just hard to follow and make sure that citizens are getting a consistent message straight across the board. I now am in a large public or private office, started a new private office before that, and I wanted to see what issues come with different types of offices. One of the major issues we have statewide is this, how we are registering and how it's being calculated. We started out doing it by hand with math and calculators. Now we have systems that do it, and for those of us who have been around a long time, have found that we noticed in Minlars that wasn't the right fees because we knew how to calculate them. So what we were looking at was how can we make it simplified for our citizens, our customers, and which our customers are also our dealers, because it makes it hard for them if they have to give a refund or try and get more money from the customer. We weren't finding anything that would be simple. It just so happened it was at one of our offices that we had a father and son that bought a vehicle together, and same vehicle, just didn't have all the bells and whistles. Father's vehicle was $200 less in tabs than the son's. We could not explain it for them. We had no answer. It would be nice to have those answers so that we can give that to our customers and our citizens. And it would be nice that we can tell our dealers that this is one set way that we can find our registration fees. And they won't have all those collections or registrations. It's really helps make the business better, it helps make Minnesota better, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Smith. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Representative John Petersburg. I've been on the transportation committees for the last 7 years, and four of those years as vice chair, and have also carried the auto dealers bill and a few other bills trying to make some headway into some of the complexities and confusions of the program. And early on, back in 2013 when I started, we talked about, county-based sales tax and others, and the flexibility that wasn't in our old legacy system. And it was very evident that we needed a new system, which had been started many years prior to that, and we were looking forward to that. And it seems like in this day and age, with the computer systems that we have, complexity isn't as difficult a thing to accomplish as it is implementation. And so I think the implementation is where we need to deal with. You know, we hear about revenue neutral, which I think we all want to do from at least the department's side. But if you're consumer or taxpayer side, it means a whole lot different in regards to revenue neutral. And that's a decision that we're going to have to make. How do we determine the consumer who has an 11-year-old car and is paying $50 for registration now all of a sudden jumps? Well, we can grandfather it in, obviously, but then that takes some time to cover. And what do we do with in the meantime? So there are a lot of things that we have to discuss, and we have a very short period of time, about 4 months, in order to do that. So we're going to have a heavy lift here over the next few months in order to really determine how we're going to accomplish some of these things. Ultimately, we want a system that is easy to administer, that the accounting system and the system that we're using is going to keep ourselves accurate as well as ease, and also we want to make sure that we register all the vehicles and we have the proper data. And there's a lot of outdated data out there that has to be collected as well. So that's a big mouthful, and I'll pass it on.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Mr. Lanau.
Madam Chair, members, thank you.
For did I pronounce that correctly?
Lino, kind of like Lino Lakes, if that helps.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
Thank you for having me here, and I'm actually very struck by the fact of how many different stakeholders we already have in the room with us today. So I look around, not only state employees or representatives of state agency or our electeds, but there's quite a few people both in the audience and here at the table with us. So I'm confident of a couple different things. One is partnership. I think you've certainly set the table for us to, through partnership, be successful here. But learning from the past, and I don't think we can forget about what maybe that past looked like or what it has been, maybe there's some trust that's been lost in the process with the public. And that's also part of what we're doing here today. So partnerships, transparency, business practices. I've certainly said in some of my meetings since I've come on board that DVS needs to be more reflective of a business than a bureaucracy. We've got a lot of work to do. But ultimately, I hope we get back to the position of trust with the public.
Thank you, Mr. Lino. Those words are very well said. Appreciate them very much. Ms. Michelson.
Madam Chair, thank you. Nicole Michelson with the Department of Public Safety. I manage the budgets for MNLARS and FAST, and my main interest is in understanding the impact any change might have on customization in the new system, as well as understanding any potential impact to revenue, so that I can also work with my colleagues in DVS to understand where that might have an impact and how.
Thank you, Ms. Michelson. Ms. Backus.
Great. Thank you, and we really do appreciate the opportunity to participate in this discussion with you. We do think that the calculating the registration tax is very difficult for dealers and consumers. A lot of customers that come into dealerships get sticker shock when they see what they have to owe in tab fees, and it's hard to explain what it's based on with this current determination. So we are hoping to have a system, as others have said, that will be streamlined and more transparent and easier to administer, which would help with the new FAST system that's coming online. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Backus. Glad you're here. Ms. Quinn?
I don't have too much to add. We're at the very end of the line. Everybody's pretty much said everything that we are trying to accomplish. I myself am a weight person. I believe that the more damage you do to the roads, the more the cost should be. But it's nice that we have an open place to discuss all of our options. Mm-hmm. And my goal is to make sure that our dealers, are taken care of, that they have a simplified system to use where there's not so much there's different fees for different things for the same vehicle, as Gabe was saying. We've, you know, run into that often. So I'm pretty excited to make this happen.
Great. Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate your input. Mr. Hintz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the first thing on our mind, sorry, Mike Hintz, Minnesota Deputy Registrar's Association. One of the first things I think for my priority is, as Deputy Commissioner Lino pronounced, trust, not just amongst the stakeholders, but amongst your constituents and our customers. We've burned a lot of bridges with MNLARS, and we will spend many years trying to rebuild those. So moving forward with this thing, when we simplify the process, that will help both from a customer's perspective, because they're very confused, and from our end as deputy registrars, as the face of the people who are, you know, presenting the problem to the customer. So the more simple we can make that, the easier it is to explain and the easier it is to move forward with that. The other big thing we have to be careful of as deputy registrars is ensuring that our processes that we have to do as the face-to-face end of this tax collection, for lack of a better term, is make sure that process doesn't get negatively impacted to a large extent as it did with MNLARS. We're fortunate that we have an experience with FAST, with our driver services piece, and we know what we're walking into with that, so that will help. So I think some of us feel, many of us, I will say, feel pretty good about moving forward with FAST, but we are still keeping an eye out to make sure our processes aren't negatively impacted. The other big thing that we're worried about and thinking about as deputy registrars is ensuring that, I know we're all trying to do this as a revenue neutral to the state of Minnesota, but as a private business, it needs to be revenue neutral for us, and we have to protect that going forward. If services roll to the state side instead of to the deputy registrar side, that's a revenue loss. So we have to be careful of those things. And the last thing that I'm specifically watching out for is making sure the deputy registrars are properly compensated for the workload that will be transferred to us as we move to FAST. We already know with FAST from prior experiences that there is another aspect that we don't currently do with MNLARS or that we did in the legacy system where we're scanning more documents and adding those to the vehicle records live on the fly face-to-face with the customer, which will represent an increase in time face-to-face, and that is also work that is not being done at the state. If I'm scanning the documents at my counter, someone at the state is not scanning those documents, therefore we're taking over their work. So we want to keep an eye out for those things. But overall, we're very excited to see the changes moving forward away from MNLARS and into the future. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Yes, Representative Elkins.
I agree very strongly with everything Mr. Hintz just said. I think one of the issues that I saw with MNLARS is that a lot of work got pushed, you know, to the deputy registrars without really much of an increase in compensation other than the one-time funding that we got for them. But there did not seem to be any commensurate reduction in the back office work at DVS. And I would definitely like to see us pursue as a goal on this that, you know, from an IT perspective, actually it is appropriate to push the work to the customer interface. But if we're going to do that, and I think we should, the deputy registrars have to both have the compensation and the tools. The goal should be that by the time the customer leaves the office, everything is correct and does not need remediation in the back room at DVS, and that should be a goal as well. We did not get the economies that we should have gotten on the back room DVS functions.
Thank you very much, Representative Elkins. You know, those are recognition, though, of the good intentions, but the really sad results. Just to let you know, I served on Transportation Committee for probably about 7 years. I didn't go back and actually look at it, but I spent a lot of time. Matter of fact, many of these things like this have seen them before, and we have worked together with Senator Dibble, and you were a great staff person then, Suzanne, so it's good to see you bringing all that knowledge and expertise. That's very, very helpful. And so it does make a difference to have that, and we all bring a variety of outlooks on it. But probably the biggest thing, I think, for me is that government is here to serve the people. The people are not here to serve the government. And so the focus of all of this for us is to always remember that we're here predominantly, that is our purpose. The whole point of having this is to serve the people of Minnesota. And I would say I wanted to kind of have this basis. I know we kind of have this, which is really great to kind of reiterate why we're here today and all of that, to set that foundation. And I just want to say we're going to build on that past. We're going to leave it there, because we want to take those things, recognize them, because if we don't, we are not able to learn from those. And we're going to try and turn all those lessons learned into some good stuff and really focus on that so that we can move forward in that future. And I also want to say that while we may think about, I want to be sure it's revenue neutral and we don't cut it short, right? Okay, so if we're going to err on the side, we want to make sure that we don't, because it's such a, well, Senator Dibble, your name just came up, so glad to have you here. Yes, that would be a fine spot. We can, we've just gone around the table, Senator Dibble, and every member of the task force has had an opportunity to say their name, a little bit about that, and a little bit of what their hope is for the task force, and building on kind of that foundation. I was just commenting that we wanted to kind of air that and get to that point that we have that, but then we're going to really, really spend our time on, you know, what next, and to really do forward work from here. But Senator Dibble, giving you a chance to just at least get seated in your chair, and for me to get babble a little bit to give you time for that, and if you might want to take a couple minutes here as well.
So thank you. I'm State Senator Scott Dibble. I serve on the Transportation Committee in the Senate as the minority lead. And I think, you know, what I would like to get out of this, of course, is just to learn best practices of other states carry out this function. Some new ideas.
Thank you very much, Senator Dibble. You again bring a lot of knowledge to this task force, as all of you do. And as I heard each one of you speak, I think there is absolute consensus in that regard. However, the consensus is going to be what will be the solution, right? So that's going to be the challenge in front of us. We have things. One of the things that I think is really important for us, because we have a short time frame to get this done, we're really going to need all hands on deck, all of our wonderful government staff, all of our private sector folks. It's really going to take digging in. This is no surprise to anybody. I am sure all of you have probably done some research already. This shouldn't be a big surprise to any of you in regards to what we need to do here and the urgency of time, especially for a report to the legislature. But what actually concerns me more is to get this done for the purpose of FAST and the work that they are doing and the fundamental structure of the solution that we have. I would say that we are probably going to need to up our meeting times, like every other week or once every 2 weeks, in order to get our work done, which is going to put a lot of pressure on your staff and other folks to be able to, in between time, get that input, get ready. I'm kind of thinking we had a discussion. We had our staff present statutory, a lot of those kinds of things. I'm seeing a bit of nod of heads to do the every 2 week meetings. I think sooner than that, it makes it a little difficult to for the staff to get the work done. I would like to work with them and kind of lay out an overall plan for that and do that for you. But as far as those meeting dates and times, I know everybody's got a variety of different things, but this being so important, I know all of you, I call it, if you can make it work in your schedule, rearrange things so that you can be present at our task force meetings. It's going to take some of that, but to kind of work with you. And Ms. Olson will be the staff person, right, working on our on doing that. There are so take a close eye out. We're going to take a look at some potential meeting dates and times. So stay tuned. We're going to try and do that on a very quick basis to get some of that out to you, get some of that input. But we're also going to be looking at not just the next meeting, but also some meeting times after that and try later schedule, because I think for all of you, that's going to work better. I would say also as a basis of our next meeting on the agenda, I would like to have, Mr., thank you so much.
Thank you, sorry.
We'll be in touch. Okay, we'll be in touch. Thank you very much, Ms. Savoda. Senator Jasinski, you would have to give a little. Okay, I would like to have FAST come in, because one of the things that is to use the expertise that we already have, the knowledge we already have. I think one of the key decisions are going to be weight, value-based, some of that, because the sooner we can kind of narrow that down, that's going to help us, because we're still going to have a lot of work to do once we kind of do that. I know that other states have some experience with that, so I would be looking for you, Mr. Lina, giving some input for that, because I think one of the first things is to kind of sort through that, have presenters and other folks to have a very vibrant discussion. I would say that in general, our meetings are going to need to be around 3 hours or so in order to not only have a presentation, but to have an ample discussion about what all those things mean. And I really feel that that, with all of the folks that we have around the table, having your vibrant input is going to be very important. That's kind of my thought, and I'd like to open it up for all of you to make comments as to what you think about that kind of proposal. Representative Petersburg?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I think that sounds good, but I was also hoping that I could request a database of all the members of task force as well, because I think that may be helpful for other discussions, and we may have to break up into small working groups or something as well, but I think I don't have a problem with three-hour meetings at all.
Thank you very much, Representative Petersburg. Other comments? Mr. Eitan?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to add that, you know, if FAST could cover from their experience in other states any statutory complexity that has actually driven customization of their base product in those states, I think that would be helpful. The other thing I wanted to raise was we've talked about statutory complexity. There's another aspect to this, especially if we do go the value route in terms of using base value as the driver for the reg, that there's some industry complexity that I think we might want to get a base education level on, just around, I think most people would think, you know, there's one Ford F-150 model. You know, in fact, there's eight different Ford F-150s, and there are 80 different VIN descriptors that align to those eight different models of F-150. So we may have different definitions between the industry and the average person's terminology that we might want to illuminate before we get too deep into the discussion. Thank you.
I would say that's an excellent part of it as well. I think FAST in many of those ways, and also we'll probably have some of the knowledge and expertise to answer questions that I think we all want to have. Anybody else have a comment on either the timing of meetings, length of meetings, or the agenda, especially for the next one? Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm otherwise retired, so three-hour meetings are fine. And to reiterate what Mr. Eichten just said, I think there's a strong expectation on the Blue Ribbon Council that that we will customize the system as little as possible, and I'm positive that there will be a very strong recommendation to that effect coming from them, and so it's something I think we should keep in mind.
From them, the Blue Ribbon, or from FAST?
From the Blue Ribbon Council. Probably FAST as well, but there is an expectation, okay, strong expectation from that body that we'll be adapting our processes to the FAST system rather than the other way around as much as possible. What else was I going to say? I think I think we're probably going to be able to come to a consensus very quickly that the current base value methodology is untenable. I don't think we're going to have too much trouble, agreeing on that and moving on. But
it makes me extremely nervous to even think about it.
So. Yeah, it does. Yes. So the other thing I would like, when FAST presents to us, if they could just also give us an overview of the kind of the architectural landscape that it lies within. What are the other systems that the system has to integrate with, and what types of data does it have to exchange with these other systems? Because I think that will help us come to a solution that simplifies things as well.
Thank you, Representative Elkin. That was my thought also, that if we start with that on our first agenda, that will probably expedite the rest of our work. But I think it's also a good idea to add the Blue Ribbon Council to have them come, because I think those two together, I think, will enable us to have a good, solid picture. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to have anybody else? Ms. Smith.
I currently am sitting on the Driver and Vehicle Services production team with FAST, and will be at DVS working in the FAST program for the next 15 months. We have already started the development of the process and the fees, and one of the main issues that does come up each time is the customization. And, you know, me as a taxpayer, as a deputy, as somebody who serves our customers, we don't want to develop things twice. So that was my concern, was that are we going to be practicing and working in this and then change it and go somewhere else? So that part right now, does VIN intelligence populate, and is that technology still needed? So it would be helpful to have that roadmap that FAST does have put together so that we know what to expect when.
Thank you, Ms. Smith.
Thank you.
So totally agree. Absolutely agree. Anybody else? I could see some packing up already, so I can tell. The expectation for an initial meeting, we've well accomplished that. I think we've done a good job of getting ourselves up and rolling and having that plan. So stay tuned and look out for your emails, and the response from that is will be much appreciated. We'll get out as quickly as we can. We'll look forward to you. And again, the majority that can fit into that, we will make those choices based upon that. Thank you all so much. I'm really looking forward to this. Thank you. We are adjourned.